We'd like for you to turn to John 14, and we're going to read 1 through 6. And it's very familiar scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And then Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll stop there. This passage was written at the top of my chapter there. It says, Christ comforteth his disciples. The disciples didn't have a full vision. They believed that Christ was the Son of God. They believed that. But they had a mindset that he was going to have his kingdom in this world. And there were many things that had just been spoken to them by Christ, trying to prepare them for what was to be shortly. His crucifixion, his arrest. They couldn't grasp that. It made them sad, as it would you and me, if we did not have a correct vision. So this passage was spoken for their comfort. He's trying to prepare them that he's leaving. When Thomas said this, we don't know where you're going. And we don't know how to go. How can we know where to go? It was because they thought that at some point, some place, he was going to set up his throne here on earth. They believed they were going to be a part of his kingdom. And they hadn't been able to grasp the fact that it was an eternal kingdom. So Jesus turned and said simply, how can we know the way? I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And I'm thinking how that this passage has been given to you and me for this time, for this day. It's still to be a comfort to us because you and I know the truth. You and I have the vision. We are living after the fact that Christ is preparing a place for us even now. That he has an eternal kingdom that will be forever. We have difficulty grasping the word eternity. World without end. And yet we're all headed to eternity. But we can face eternity with a hope that other men don't have. I'm thinking about the scripture that says for you and me not to grieve as those which have no hope. There is a grief where there is no hope. But what hope you and I have. Brother Marty was speaking about his mother. His mother passed not very long before Lauren passed. As a matter of fact, he had just gotten home from her funeral when he got the call about Lauren. He was comparing his grief for his mother. And the Lord spoke to him, that scripture. Don't you grieve like other men. You have a hope. She was saved. I'm not sure at what point in her life that she got saved, but they had a hope that she was in heaven. And that's what the Lord wants to comfort us with in this life. That we not be afraid, have a fear, grieve like other people. He is the God of all comfort, thank the Lord. He is preparing a place for you and me right now. I want to see that place, don't you? I'm not particular about the mansion. I really haven't wanted a mansion here, and I'm not sure that I want one there exactly like what we might call a mansion. But to be there, above all things, is the hope of my soul. So God has a way of comforting you and me, not just in the passing of a loved one. It's much more than that. You and I are living in a time that the world is dark. We recognize and believe that we're in the last of the last days. That's not a new statement. We've heard it over and over. But as time goes on, and as the scripture says that men will be worse and worse, we're seeing it happen all around us. Maybe the enemy would like to cause us to be fearful. Wonder what's going to happen. Well, we know not what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. We sing those songs. That should be a comfort to us, that we not live in a dread or a fear of tomorrow. Thank the Lord. Oftentimes in the last few months, with all that has been unfolding in our world, someone will say again, the Lord is in control. That should comfort us. That should even inspire us to look away from the darkness of this world and believe that he has everything in his control. Thank the Lord. I believe it. I'm trusting in it. So other times in this time, and not just now, I'm going to say this has been for many years, that there are those that might even question, as Thomas did here, how can we know the way? Which way is right? How will I know I'm following the right way? We're in a time of many byways. If you recall on Pilgrim's Progress, there were many detours, many other ways that they could take, but they didn't lead to eternal life. They led to death, and they led to destruction. And we have in the Word of the Lord, we all are familiar with it, that Jesus has said, there's two ways. There's a straight and a narrow way. There are few that will find that way, or be subject to that way, or even wish to investigate that way. And then he said that there is a broad way, and it leads to destruction. And it tells us that many will find that way and will be found in that way in the end of their life. But I believe that the Lord wants to comfort us today, that we don't have to be in question. How can I find the way? I believe that the Lord has the power and the ability that if I seek, if I ask, if I knock, I will find the way in this day and time. In these last days, I will find the way. Thank the Lord. So, verse 6, I want to reread. After he said, "How can I know the way?" And Jesus simply says, "I am the way." Maybe that didn't really satisfy his mind, because he thought he was leaving. He had already said, "I'm leaving." So if you leave, how will I still know that you are the way? It goes on in that verse, and it says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So that should give you and me a clue of finding the right way. We come to the Father through Jesus Christ, through Him, by Him, and in Him. And I'm really not, this is not necessarily the message today, but I feel impressed to focus just a little bit on this part, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because it's a doctrine. It's part of the truth of God's word. We're living in a time that people are a little bit blind, and they don't understand, or else they forget, or else we have neglected to really teach it and bring it to the forefront of our minds. When we pray, how do we pray? Who do we pray for or to? Who do we pray to? I think sometimes in our ignorance, we can pray to Christ. But who are we supposed to be praying to? God the Father. He's over Christ. But it is through Christ that we can reach the Father. It is through His name that God will turn His attention toward us. I believe last Sunday night, we spoke about a sweet incense and the smell the aroma that will come up before the Father and turn His attention toward our cries and our prayers. But I'm going to give you some scripture now. We're just going to focus a little bit on this and go on with our thought. It's in Acts, the 4th chapter and verse 12, and it simply means this. I'm not going to turn and read it. It says, "Salvation exists only through Christ. There's no other name." It says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men that anyone can be saved." So be reminded of that. As you come before the Lord, don't forget to invoke the name of Jesus, because it's a sweet odor unto the Lord. It's a sweet savor, and it turns His attention toward us as we pray. Also, John 6 and 44, Jesus said it again. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father hath sent me." Who hath sent me? The Father draws him. Oh, I want to tell you, it's important that we understand the word of the Lord. We want our prayers heard, and we want them answered. But you and I must recognize, and I'm not going to go into much more detail on it. You can study it out. But the scripture also says, whatsoever ye ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. So salvation is only by Jesus and in Jesus and through Jesus. So I'm going to just leave that little thought with you this morning as a reminder of even when you're praying or if you're seeking for salvation, to remember to always speak the name of Jesus. Do it in the name of Jesus. Thank the Lord. So Jesus is saying that through faith in his name is salvation brought to every soul. So that is the beginning of the way. Remember, he asked, how can we know the way? It is through the name of Jesus. That's the beginning. This scripture, I think, was given this morning in Sunday school, Revelations 1 and 8. And it says that Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am the Almighty. So that's what the way, that's how we will find the way in this world, in this life. Matthew 24, verses 23 through 27, and I think I'll just paraphrase that a little bit for the sake of time. It says, but Jesus, he began to speak to them and he said, I want you to be fully aware of what will happen in the end times. There will be false prophets. There will be false ways. There will be even great signs and wonders that might even try to deceive you. He said it could even deceive the very elect. But he says, believe them not. That is not the way. Don't follow after something that is false. Another place he says, try the spirits. You and I need to not believe everything we hear and see. Even if it's said in the name of Christ, we have to wait and test it and see if it's of the right spirit, because he said there would be false Christs. He said there would be even people saying, Christ is over here. Come this way. Christ is over here. Don't follow it. You must prove it. And God will be faithful to you to reveal truth. Because he said, I am the truth. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So he went ahead and he said, behold, I have told you before it even happens. So he's prepared his people that you and I don't get in a bypath or take a sideway or a detour and end in destruction. And be deceived and be blind. He will always be faithful if you ask. Anyone that is desiring to know the way to heaven, God is able to reveal it, to guide your feet. He said that his word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We don't have to go around being fearful and afraid that I'm not going to make it because I really don't know the way. I don't know if this is the right way or the wrong way. Wait on the Lord. He will reveal it unto you and me, and we will know the right way. Praise God. So it says again, he says, I don't want you to let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe who we are, what we are. Believe the works that we performed while we walked the earth that is recorded for you and me to read and have faith in. So, the next scripture is Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and verses 16 and 17. He wants to comfort us this morning that we can know the way. Verse 16, he says, but he said, no. I have the wrong chapter written down. It's 19 and not 16. It says, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. So, what is the cry? Lord, show me the way. Reveal yourself unto me. I am seeking, I am asking, I am knocking. I want to know the way. And he says, I'm going to be very gracious unto you when you cry. I will answer thee. And then verse 20 says, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. He's wanting you and me to not be distracted by the way, though it be adversity, though it be affliction. And people will begin to say, well, if this was the way, why am I suffering this? Why is God taking me down this way if this is the right way? God is using everything to temper you, shape you, teach you. And he says the teachers are not going to be off in a corner. But verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. So here we are, we're trying to find the right way, the right path, and I don't know which it is, but I have choices to make, decisions, but he said there'd be a voice. A voice that would say, this is the right way, walk ye in it. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Don't be influenced by those kind of things of the world that will say, that's not necessary. This isn't necessary. But God commands for you and me to follow Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. When you think of truth, what is truth? That was even asked one time. What is truth? Well, truth is truth. God is truth. Truth is never a lie. Truth will only lead in the right way when we follow truth, when we understand that the word of the Lord is truth. You can find the truth. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. Believe the truth. Don't allow any false teachings influence you to go another way. So he has a way for you and me. And if we hear the still small voice, we'll find the way. It will be there to say, don't turn to the left or the right. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Isaiah, the 48th chapter, verse 16 and 17. It says, come near. Come ye near unto me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret. God is not a God that just tries to keep you in the dark. He wants you to have light. He wants you to walk in the light. He does not want us to be ignorant. He wants us to have understanding. He says, I'm not going to talk to you in secret things. I've not spoken to you in secret. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One. I am the Lord thy God, which does what? I teach you to profit. He's not going to teach you and me false things. He will teach us the truth, and it will be for our profit. And then he said, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. This is the way you should go. Follow this way. Then in Isaiah 42 and verse 16. I love this verse. This is such an encouraging verse. Remember, we started out with some encouraging, comforting scriptures for us not to be troubled, us not to be in confusion. And it says here, I will bring the blind by the way. Well, I believe this is really speaking of people that are spiritually blind. You can't see the way. You don't know the way. Now, I believe that it can apply to us literally. I believe he can bless the people that are blind. Someone said to me that I had shared with the situation with my eyes, and they said, how can God prove that he can heal blind eyes if no one is willing to be blind? Well, it's something nobody's really desiring to do, but to be blind spiritually is even worse. I remember Sister Catherine, and she had cataracts, and she declared that God spoke to her and said, you will not go blind in this life. But she went blind. And one day I was there, I helped her, took food to her and served her in different ways. And the telephone rang, and it was the telephone company wanting her to have caller ID. And I knew she was blind. And I said, no, she can't use that. She is blind. And she really corrected me when I got off the phone, because she said, Maxine, the Lord said I would not go blind in this life. I said, okay, and left it. But I knew she was blind. She couldn't see her food even to eat. So time went on, and she eventually had to go to the nursing home. And one day she called me to come. And I never saw Sister Catherine down but this one time. And she admitted she was blind. And she said, but the Lord said I would not go blind in this life. And just as she said it, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I meant she would not go blind spiritually. And I said it to her. I said, Sister Catherine, the Lord means that you would not go blind spiritually. And she threw her hands up in the air, and her eyes were wide, and she shouted. And she was contented to be blind physically, but to be blind spiritually is a horrible thing. And yet the word of the Lord says he's going to help those that may get blind spiritually. It says he's going to bring them by the way. But they knew not. They didn't know the way. God is able to make you and me know the way. He says, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light unto them, and crooked things straight. These things I will do unto them and not forsake them. Every honest soul that is asking for the right way, Lord, teach me the right way. Lead me in the right way. He's going to honor that request. He will not forsake them. Does it mean anything to you when you read the scripture or you hear it quoted, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Even if you don't know the way, he will still lead you in the right way. if you will follow. Thank the Lord. The other scripture, Isaiah 35. At the top of my chapter, it has a title, and it says, it's the joyful flourishing of Christ's kingdom. Don't you know there's joy in serving the Lord in the right way? Don't you know that He wants us to be happy in Him, contented in Him? Oh, I want to tell you, God has the right way for you and me. But I'm going to read some verses. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5 and then skip down to 8 and 9. And it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Strengthen the weak hands. What does that mean? Well, you and I can become weakened spiritually. Feeble knees would indicate maybe that we haven't been spending much time on our knees, but He's not cutting us off. He's still saying, I want you to find the right way. You come to me. You give me your hands. I'll strengthen them. You submit. You bow yourself on your knees and seek after me with your whole heart. He said, when ye seek after me with your whole heart, you're going to find me. You don't have to be worried and in sorrow and grief and fear in these last days, because there's so many other ways around, so many other religions that are offering a way. But He says, I will lead you in the right way. You can trust me. I will not forsake you. And it says in verse 4, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come. He will come if you need Him. You know, when I've been praying of late, it just seems like that I need the Lord so badly that I'll say, oh, come, Holy Father. Come to me. Don't you know He hears that cry? He wants to be with you and me, to lead us in the right way. And then it says in that same, He will come and save you. He'll save you from going on the wrong way. Thank the Lord. Verse 5, and the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Oh, He's going to open that obscure, I don't know the way. I don't see the way. Open my eyes. Do we ever pray that way? Lord, open my eyes that I may see. It says here, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears shall be unstopped. We have to ask for it, though. Lord, help me to hear your voice. Help me to see your way. Help me to have a vision of the truth. Help me to walk in the light while I am in the light, lest darkness come upon me. Lord, open my ears. He says He will unstop them. And then we skip on down to verse 8. And this should be a comfort to us. If we are concerned of knowing the right way, He said that there would be an highway which shall be there and a way. You and I are so blessed to have highways. 4-lane highways, 2-lane highways, paved. It hasn't always been that way in our country. There were trails that became roads that led from one place to another, if they were traveled well enough. But you and I, the Lord has a highway that we can identify and see and not be in doubt, not be afraid. Oh, I might not know the right way. But a highway is a way that is high. It's up above all of the other ways. And it says it's a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Now I've got a clue. Where is the way? It's in holiness. Jesus said, God has put it in his word, be ye holy as I am holy. That's going to be different from the other ways. We can test the spirit of the other ways against holiness, against righteousness. We can say, are they living a holy life? Is this way going to lead me to a holy life? If the answer is yes and we prove the spirit, then we say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. The voice will say that, but it says it's the way of holiness. It says the unclean shall not pass over this way, but it shall be for those. Who is it going to be for? It's going to be for the wayfaring man. You know what a wayfaring man is? One that travels. One that doesn't sit still. One that is walking in the way. And it says, though fools. Oh, you might say, I'm ignorant. I don't know the way. I don't know everything about the way. I don't know everything about the truth. You could be maybe classified as a fool. And he says, you can still find the way. He says, though they are fools, they shall not err therein. I'm going to make sure that they know the way. Thank the Lord. It goes on down and it speaks about a lion and a ravenous beast and they shall not be there. You know that's not talking about literal lions and ravenous beasts. It's a spirit that is trying to contest the way. But it says the redeemed shall walk therein. Thank the Lord. God is going to be faithful to you and me in these last days that we not err, we not fall, we not fail, we will not be ignorant. He will lead us in the way. Thank the Lord. So, I want to read one scripture, the sixth verse. Also, I missed that one because this one is a very important one. It says, then shall the lame men, crippled men, leap. Is that talking about the literal crippled men? I think it's talking about those that have been afraid and fearful and not knowing the way, didn't have understanding. They're crippled. But it says, you'll leap in the way. So they will, the lame man will leap and the tongue shall sing. Oh, God is able to help you and me sing a new song. Have a new language. Don't you know that God has a language? He has his own vocabulary. The Lord is able to help you and me have that understand that vocabulary and find the way. So, I want to finish with rereading John 14 and 1 and 2. Be not afraid. Oh no, that's another scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you that, because I go to prepare a place for you. Be comforted that you and I can know the right way. There is a song I would like for us to sing, and we may have to do it on our WhatsApp, but it's I Cannot Find the Way Alone. And you cannot find the way alone. You need the Holy Spirit. You need God. You need Christ. You need His Word. You need the Spirit to be able to guide and lead. And one scripture says, He will guide us even unto death. So let us not be afraid. Let us be comforted that if we trust in Him, if we submit our life into His hands, if we yield ourselves, He will help us find the way. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.